Accession number 20598, Reel 3.
Fritz Yelch, Reel 3. You were just telling me what happened to you once you got to Southampton.
We were put in groups, 100 in one group, and five in a row. So, five in a row, 20 rows, you know, 100 in a group. And the first row I was in, and I had to fetch some food, bread and cheese from the cookhouse, they call it. So I was a lucky one. So the first five, we had to fetch some bread from the cookhouse. And when we got there, the British soldiers had Welsh rabbit, I think, with cheese on toast. And of course, the big plates were full of cheese and so. And so I never had anything like this, roasted cheese. And we saw, we scrapped a bit off and ate some. And I said, "You liked it?" I said, "Oh, yes, all the cheese on big plates." So he gave us a brown paper bag to put it all in. That dried up cheese. Of course, we loved it because we were all very, very hungry. And when I went back, I handed the cheese to anybody who wants a piece, because everybody was very, very pleased that I gave a big paper bag with dried up cheese, you know, from the plates. And I ate so much as I could. Well, in a short time, we had to go back straight away, you see. And of course, a loaf of bread, we had to share it with two or three loaves, I can't remember now. The loaf of bread, you had they cut it out in the kitchen. One loaf, I think they made five parts in it, five big slices. And everybody got a slice, and they gave some proper cheese as well. But most of them, that was extra, that dried up cheese from the big plates, that was extra. And they were very pleased with it anyway, because hungry.
And then?
Oh, yeah. Then we were put on a train to a different direction. I think our lot there, I don't know how many were, went right up to Scotland. And I can't remember, I think it was Camp 17, which used to be an army camp, was six miles from Edinburgh. 6 miles from Edinburgh. And from there, I think we stayed there a few days, and we went to Glasgow on a ship. And the big ship, Dominion Monarch, was a big troop transporter was, 28,000 ton. There was Not in the bay, but a small ship had to take it to the big ship because they couldn't come to the pier, you see. So we were shoved on a small ferry, you can say a ferry. And again, the soldiers, they had bayonet put on the rifle, you see. And they said, come on, boys. We had to rush as quick as possible to go to the big ship, you see. And the one that, again, a small chap, you know, he stopped me on the back, but not very deep, but it penetrated. And I could feel warm, but we couldn't take much notice, excitement and so. And when we got to the big ship, we went in the washhouse. We could go in the washhouse to have a wash and so. And then I took my shirt off and he said, "Oh, you've been wounded on the back." I said, "Yes, that chap, you stopped me with the bayonet and so, but only just through the uniform, you know, and just penetrated my skin. And the blood was running down my back, was all dried up already, you see. So it was not serious, but in excitement, the way they did it, you see. And so we just had to put up. You couldn't demonstrate about it or say anything. And yeah, we went then to New York. It was about about a fortnight, I think, or 10 days. 10 days to go to New York. We went in a convoy. There were so many ships with us, even little tankers and so. All round the big ship. And when we got to New York, we didn't know where we go. If we go to America or Canada, we didn't know. And then, there again, we went through disinfection, because some of the ship had lice or so, and we cleaned up in New Land. So they had put all our uniform in a steam, in wire basket, and they went in steam for disinfection. And of course, when they came out, they had a big pattern from the steam and so from a wire basket, you see. And then they took us across a bay in New York to the train. And then we could see on the train American, Canadian Pacific. And we knew we were going to Canada. We didn't know whether we were going to Canada or in America. But when we saw on the train Canadian Pacific, so we were going to Canada. And I got a book still there from Canada. And there we went right up to the West Canada to Medicine at Heart is
Manitoba?
No, Manitoba is first. Alberta. I couldn't make it the word. We went through Manitoba. Alberta, where Medicine at Heart. From our camp, you could see on a distant Rugby Mountain. It was quite west, you see. And I was surprised that we were treated well. It was like a town. There were just British troops there. They trained them for the airfield. Because in Medicine Hat, there was an airfield as well. They were training British troops there. And they left 43. And when they left 43, they put the German prisoners there in that camp. And that camp was quite good organized. It was 12,000 men were there. And we had 6 kitchens, 2,000 in one kitchen. 2,000 were fed in one kitchen, you see. 6 kitchen, 2,000 in one row. Wooden houses, but they were nice. Because they put us there, because we could have hot water and gas had the heating, so because the gas was so shallow there, we knew. And then, so the lamps around the camp, they were all gas, natural gas, and the heating came up from gas. And that's why they put the camp there. And after the war, I know a British chap there. His sister married a Canadian, and then she lived once in Medicine Hat. And he said he went up to the camp, and the camp was full of oil donkeys. They call it donkeys, the oil pumps to go up and down. You see, they call it donkeys. But the camp was full because we know that the oil is quite shallow there, because we tried some experiments there with the gas, you know. We dug a hole in the camp, and they did something there with the repair and so, and put a water pipe in the hole, about 4 foot deep and so, and vertical, and fill the hole up, and then you could put a match on top, and the flame came out. So we knew the camp was standing on oil.
And it was British troops in charge, not Canadian troops?
No, Canadian, were Canadian, all elderly men and so. No, we were treated well there. But then again, when the war was finished, they wanted to show them how they lift the concentration camps. On the food, we had 3,000 calories. We had the soldiers, you know, I didn't know what calorie means, but that was 3,000 calories. And the shop just stayed in half. Well, I was out already, because we only had it afterwards. I was in the forest as a lumberjack. And the food was excellent, best you could have. because we worked for a civilian company, you see, and they knew if you feed the German well, they work well, you see, but I love to go there anyway. In fact, I wanted to go back. I want to stay in Canada then, because the new country, and I know already we lost Germany and so, my home. But we couldn't stay there, because we were still under British crown. Canada was still a colony of Britain, you see, only came independent on 48. And they said, no, we can't stay there. Britain wants you back for coal mine and for work, because many of the British men are still in the army, you see. So we worked on the farm, and all jobs in Britain.
But in Canada, did you mean when the war finished?
Yeah, when the war was finished.
Your rations were cut in half?
Not mine. I was a lucky one. I was in the forest already, in the camp, they cut in half. And then even less, instead of 3,000 calories, they had 1,500 calories. And they went down to 1,200 calories. And I believe one ended in 900. And the Canadian doctors, they said they don't want to take any more responsibility to the government. You know, we are here to help human beings, to help the German, you see. And so, and some of them got ill. Because of all was well fed and so, and then suddenly they lost the belly and got thin and so. So they had to put it up again. They went down to 900 calories, I think, and they had to put it up again.
Why were some of the POWs in the camp and others like yourself working as lumberjacks?
Well, why was that? I don't know. I was looking forward to go as a lumberjack. Because some of them came back from the forest as a lumberjack, and they were talking about, you know, what the excitement there were. There was no barbed wire around there. And I thought, well, I hope I can go there. And that did happen to me. And I was at the lucky shop to go there when the war was finished. So I didn't see anything of the bad food or so, because we had everything from best. But what it was, we had to have 1 week, I think, we had training. Well, not training, we had to what we have to do. A piece of wood 4 foot long. The bullsaw was 4 foot long, you see. So a piece of wood 4 foot long. And 4 foot, we had to put a pile of wood 4 foot high. And the first week, only 6 foot long, three quarter of a cord. They call it a cord. 8 foot was a cord, but three quarter of a cord. 4 foot high, 4 foot long piece of wood, and 6 foot to a stubble of wood we had to do. We had to cut the trees very low there, put a road there for the sledge to come in the winter. We first with the sledge, when we pressed the snow down first, went down with a bulldoze, with a caterpillar, and tracked a lot of wood along there to keep the snow down, and then when it got hard, it's very cold there. We went along with the sledge and got the wood on the sledge and put it on the lake. We carried it on the lake then. In the spring, when the snow melted, they all flooded into the paper mill. So, 100 miles, and it was all connected. The lakes were connected with the rivers and so, and it was very handy there for to flood the wood.
How did you get on with the Canadians?
Very well, no trouble. They were very good to us. And I said I would have liked to stay there, but we were not allowed because we had to come to Britain. And there, I did all different jobs here in Britain.
And was the camp in Alberta at Medicine Hat?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about coming back to England? Which year was this?
I came back to England with Christmas on High G, 46, yes. I came back the last day of 46 to Liverpool from there to Oldham.
Was that a camp?
Oh yeah, Oldham was a camp. There was an old cotton mill that was emptied. That supposed to be the prisoner of war camp in the First World War. A big old cotton mill. And from there we were sorted out. Some of them went to Coventry, or Manchester, or Luneaton or so, I don't know where to. And I again was lucky, I went to King's Lynn, Norfolk, King's Lynn here in the hard winter, in January 47, where the hard winter was. It was very cold. We lived there in Nishnhut, where the Americans used to live there before the invasion. And we only were there a week. It didn't work there. She just kept us there. And from there, I went to Tring, outside Tring, near Hertfordshire, here near London, in Marthworth. Marthworth was called it. It was a village. There was a temporary airfield, was built during the war. There were no airplanes there anymore. But the trained doctors, civilian doctors for the RAF, civilian doctors trained there, or nurses. There was a Waffs camp there, on next to it, where the trained doctors, civilian doctors, of course, were all gentlemen, they were doctors, proper doctors, you see. And we were there, 36 prisoners to look after them. There was a big winter. And, of course, the wash house and so, they were afraid the pipes will freeze and break, you see. So we put oil drums, made holes in oil drums, filled it up with coke, and put it in the wash house, you see, just to keep a bit of heat, to keep the frost out, so the pipes wouldn't burst, you see. And, yeah, and even in the Waffs camp, we did something like that. Because there was no central heating then at that time. But that was very good. That camp was excellent for us. Some of them who went to Coventry and camp and so on, they didn't have such a good time.
Why not?
No, they were very strict and so. For instance, it depends on the commandant. I've been told that some of them, when it was a rainy day, you had to call for a roll call, you know, to count. And they just let you stand there when it was a rainy day. They just did it on purpose, showing them, you know, just let them stand in the cold and the rain and so. Well, we didn't have that. We didn't, in that camp in Tring, near Tring, we didn't have roll call. I mean, we were 47. That treated us proper, treated us like civilian, you know.
What other work did you do at Tring?
I was peeling potatoes for 2 weeks. It was a Waffs camp, and the doctor, they said, was a big dining room. So I worked in the dining room. I worked in the dining room, washing dishes, peeling potatoes, and cleaning up and so, tables and all different things. And I even worked in the officer's room, or in his archery room, you know, cleaning up, polishing the floor, and washing up, all different things. It was all right there. We were treated not like prisoner, like civilian.
Had you been in touch with your family? Had you got some news about what was happening in Silesia to your family?
Yeah, but very little, you see, because it was all. The post was very bad, interrupted and so. And I heard they had to get out. They had to get out to the west. But where they were sent, nobody knew, you see. So my two sisters of me and my mother, two sisters of mine and the mother, went to in Sachsen. Near Dresden, not far from Dresden, and our whole family went there, but my brother and two sisters, they went to the west, and the fence was already there, the Iron Curtain. I think they were there already, yes. they just got to go through by night, or just go to 49, yeah. They went through a night, you know. They were helped by the German in the village, who lived in the village, to help with what time there's no guard there, what time they could go through, they were told. And they went to the west, because they knew it was better in the west than in the Russian zone, you know. But two sisters, my mother, they stayed in the Russian zone, of course. Well, two sisters got married, one of them lost a husband already in the war, and one of them got married to a local man there.
So, did you stay in Tring until you were freed? Until you got your freedom?
From Tring, no. I went to Nuneaton, again in a big camp. And there I worked in a, they built a big house estate in Coventry, between Coventry and Birmingham, housing estate, you see. So we worked in the building, making cement, carrying the bricks for the brick lions and different things, you see, from Nuneaton. And then from Nuneaton, I went to Byfield, here. And I worked in a cement factory in Byfield, in Leamington, near Leamington, in the cement factory. And there from Byfield, I went to a little camp, Litchborough. From there I got discharged on a farm.
Whilst you were a prisoner, did you have to have political lectures?
We did it in Oldham. Yes. When we went... from Liverpool, when we came from Liverpool to Oldham, we had the German news, of course. They gave lectures, it was all about, you see. And why it came to the war, you know, and all that. But they said the similar things what I told you before. You know, they reckon the Kaiser just left everything to the people to pay for it, and so he went off. But that was history.
But these lectures were in Oldham?
In Oldham, yeah.
Who gave the lectures?
German Jews. They came here 38, when Hitler threw them out. One Jew killed a German embassy in Paris, I think, for 38. Really, he shouldn't have done that, you see, because my father, he had German, Zephyr Jews friends, you know, and he didn't like it the way they did it. And, many of them had to leave for their own accord, you see, whether they stay in Germany or not, but they had to tell they left because they know they couldn't make it go anymore.
What did you think to the lectures?
Well, it made sense, yeah, similar to what we thought, you see, because we could see the leaflets. You know, when I was in Normandy, they bombarded with leaflets. Oh, we had a lot. Some of them, with the artillery, with shrapnels, I mean, the exploded in the middle, in the air, the grenade exploded in the air, and all the leaflets scattered all over us, you see. Or some of them came down, I saw one grenade, that came down just in front of me, the grenade. It just came down and just burst open, it didn't explode. The grenade just burst open and the heap of leaflets was lying there, you see. And I just went over and took a handful, I gave it to different chaps for. Use it for lavatory, you know, but we didn't have lavatories then, you see. And
what did the leaflets say?
All different thoughts, but made all sense. That camp I was in Canada, we had a diagram on a leaflet, you know, how to live there in that camp, medicine hat. I couldn't believe it, you see. I said, well, that was right. And there were no photos of the camp, there were just drawing of the camp, you see. But it was true, it came through. And I was the last last people who went from Normandy to Canada. And what is that in the leaflet was quite true.
What did it say?
Well, they have, as you said, they have 2,000 in one row and one kitchen for 2,000. And on the east end of the camp, there's a big hall there on the east end. They have sport there. And they call it Weichselhalle, Weichsel, the river. The river must go through Poland, Weichsel. On the west side of the camp, called the Rheinlandhalle, the river that was in Rhine, you see. And the Rhine River. And that was for theater, though. We made our own theater, entertainment, you see. And it was quite true. And then some of the leaflets, they said, well, you know you can't win the war. They said, look at your front. It comes from the Pyrenees, from the Spanish border, the Pyrenees, your front. You have to go right down near the Volga, in Russland, the front, and go down from near Leningrad, right down to the Black Sea. And you have to protect all the southern part, you know. Mussolini had to try to get some islands back from the Greek, I think, or Yugoslav, and he had a thrashing, though he asked Hitler for some help, you see, Hitler had to send some SS division to help Mussolini out and so on. That is impossible. And the price is German, though. They said, well, as the whole world knows, that the German is very mechanical, the best country in mechanisms. And they're very efficient workers and so. But you're not really Superman, you see. You're just human being. And you can't protect a front, what goes to that how many thousand kilometers, well, I forgot it now, from Pyrenees right up to the River Volga, down to the Black Sea and all around. It's impossible to have such a border. And then some leaflet said, look on Hitler, he's in the bunker. They showed the diagram how the bunker was built. No bomb can penetrate through the barriers, you see. He's safe, of course, what didn't happen afterwards. Because they said how the bunker was built. Some steel rods go vertical down, some steel rods, and the other layer go horizontal, steel rods. We filled up with concrete and so, of course. No bomb can penetrate that. He is safe in the bunker, you see. Of course, it made a problem. I mean, I know it was all right and so. But you said
earlier that you got news of the plot against, the bomb plot against Hitler. How did you feel about that?
Well, we only, we were sad, oh, you know, we thought, we brought him in Hitler's time. We thought Hitler is a savior sent by God, you know, he helped the only people. That's why we were taught and so on, no? Because he gave everybody work because of big unemployment after the First World War, just like here, you see. I'm coming to the village to work, they all had a job, but when I went in town, I could see young men, they were looking in the newspaper window for jobs, you see, and straight away went on a bike and looked for jobs, you see, because there were so many unemployed. And Hitler gave everybody a job, creating the other things, what I said, where I was in Land Army. And the factory started working once again and so. But we know it did wrong by having two fronts, having one in the east and one in the west, you know. We know it was wrong on the chap. You said go along.
So when you got your freedom in England, you had a decision about what you had to do, whether you were going back to Germany or to stay in England.
But I already worked on the farm, and we were all young and good workers. All the farmers, they wanted to keep us, well, most of them anyway. And the government said, well,